We present Anything Legal by Wally K. Daly, starring Donald Hewlett and Michael Knowles, with special guests Peter Sellier, Jennifer Croxton, John Kane, Roland MacLeod, and Henry Stamper.
Charles, wake up. I've got to talk to you.
A burglar. Stand back, sir. I warn you, I've been trained in unarmed combat.
Yes, a burglar. It's me, George.
George? George! What on earth are you doing in my bedroom this time of night? If Marjorie wakes up, she'll be furious.
She's not here. She's at home.
At home? Where am I, then?
The course, remember?
The course? What course?
The business course. 1 week's residential to teach us the basics of business.
Oh, that course. Of course.
Manpower Services Commission. Get up and go and get underway sort of thing. Actually, I would have thought person power would have been more in tune with modern day thinking.
Person power?
Yes, rather than manpower. Less of a red rag to the women's libbers.
Women's libbers?
They're the ones.
George, you do realise you're sitting on my bed at Lord knows what time in the early hours talking utter gibberish, don't you?
Oh, I thought I was being quite articulate, considering.
Considering what?
Considering that normally at this time I'm fast asleep.
George, normally at this time I'm fast asleep. For some unknown reason, you arrive in my bedroom looking like the spectre of Christmas past, wearing that silly long white tent, woolly bobble hat and a thick pair of socks. Roughly shake me awake. Why, George, why?
I couldn't sleep.
Well, thank you very much. As the week progresses and I succumb to insomnia through the weight of work and worry, I shall bear that little thought in mind.
What thought?
I can always pop along and wake George up, no matter what the hour, to give myself a bit of company to assuage the boredom.
No, it wasn't that, the company. No, that is quite nice.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear it.
It was a very serious thought concerning both of us. Namely, are we doing the right thing?
No, probably not, George. Meeting my bedroom to have a little chat in the middle of the night is not an idea of the future. Best not make a habit of it.
No, this course. I mean, wouldn't we be better off at the office, getting on with our own business?
That's the whole point of the course, to teach us how to do our business better. 1 week here, plus a day a week hereafter, and we'll be getting the Queen's Award for Industry in no time.
Ah.
Plus the fact, of course, they wouldn't give us £40 a week each for all those weeks if we didn't come and do it.
Never thought of that.
It isn't much. But it's nice to know one of the big weekly bills is taken care of regularly.
Harriet the Dog and Duck?
That's the one.
Well, putting it that way, I can see there is some point to it.
Oh, I'm glad you agree.
But our business does look so puny compared to the rest here. Computer whiz kits, stained glass window restorers, anti-bugging device manufacturers. Not to mention that blonde with the enormous pear.
What blonde with the enormous pear?
You know, the one who's discovered a way to enlarge the size of fruit. To help the starving millions in the third world.
Oh, that one. Yes, I must admit, it certainly was an enormous pair she had on display.
Yes. Anyway, to get back to my point, I was about to say that our business, Anything Legal, sounded somewhat small-time compared to the others.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do. It sounds sort of nebulous.
Nebulous?
What I'm saying is simply, should we not, in regard to Anything Legal, specify what we do, i.e., be more specific?
How can we be more specific? We don't know what we can do until somebody asks us to do it. That was the whole point of calling ourselves Anything Legal in the first place. To leave it wide open as to what service we perform. I mean, if we say Anything Legal, we wash dishes, people will think that's all we do.
I can't, as it happens.
What?
Wash dishes.
Really?
No, crinkly hands.
Oh, bear that in mind. Having said that, about not being specific, I wonder if Anything Legal International might just open it up a bit.
Internationally?
That's the one. Courier's jobs between embassies and what have you.
Flying off to foreign places?
Exactly.
I see. Wouldn't it be fun? Jet setting around the world.
I thought you'd like the idea.
Absolutely.
So, hopefully I've put your mind at rest, to some degree.
Oh, you must certainly have, Charles. Different class of dream altogether when one goes international.
Good. Sleep time it is, then.
Jolly good. See you at breakfast.
What? Did you hear something?
You?
There it is again.
I heard it that time.
Someone outside on the minstrel's gallery.
Could be a minstrel.
Silly, George.
Oh, gosh. I hope it isn't Matron. She'll give me a proper ticking off for being out of the dorm at this hour.
She can't be Matron. They're grown-up chaps now, George. Don't have matrons for grown-ups.
No, of course not. I was forgetting.
More likely, it's just the college ghost. Well, I'm off to sleep. Back to your own room, George.
Did you say ghost?
That's the one.
You mean a ghost ghost?
Yes, didn't they tell you? This old college is apparently haunted. A headless corpse walks around saying, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, then you are indeed fortunate, because it's more than I blooming well could. Right, George.
Charles. You can't send me out there to face him alone.
You won't have to face him, George. He hasn't got a face. I mean, he hasn't got a head. Just say good night nonchalantly and walk away whistling.
The door's opening.
Probably just popping his neck in to check everything's all right.
Move over, Charles, quickly.
George, what on earth are you playing at? Get out of my bed. It's not like the old days. Chums don't bunk up together anymore.
Look. Good Lord.
It's her, the blonde.
Why is she holding her hands in front of her like that?
Probably sleepwalking.
Should we wake her?
I better not. Be hard to know where to shake her wearing something as gossamy as that.
Quite right.
One thing you've got to give her, George.
What's that, Charles?
She really has got the most amazing pair, hasn't she? Ah, there you are, George.
Morning, Charles.
What's on offer?
A sort of porridgey stuff in that pan, hot, and muesli stuff in that one, cold. I think I'll stick to straightforward bacon and eggs.
You could be right. Gosh, look at the size of those eggs, George. It must be ostrich stuff.
Yes. As we didn't hear any chickens screaming in the night, chances are it's Miss Fenning's produce again.
Miss Fenning?
The lady with the pear.
Oh, her.
Yes.
Lays eggs as well as sleepwalks, does she?
Yeah, but they thought, as she was coming on the course, they let her try out some of her successes on our students. Apparently, at lunchtime, the suite was sharing one of her apples between the 15 of us.
What? Well, have a bite and pass it along, sort of thing?
No, it has to be cut up. It's too heavy to lift, so they say.
You seem surprisingly well informed, George.
I've been chatting to Mr. Hunter, that rather bookish-looking fellow over there, the one playing with the debugging device.
Debugging device? Public health inspector, is he?
No, no. The industrial espionage sort. Data gathering is his speciality. Knows everything about everybody.
There's always one, though, all in every bunch.
Quite. Find a seat, shall we?
Good thinking.
Oh, a couple of spare seats at Miss Fenning's table. Shall we go over there?
Why not? Be interesting to find out what she remembers of last night's little escapade, if nothing else. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Mind if we join you?
No, please do.
I'm George Smythe, and this is my partner, Charles Parker.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Fiona Fenning.
All right if we Fiona you, Miss Fenning?
Feel free, George. And you, Charles.
Oh, you're too kind.
Delightful.
I didn't see you at the reception party last night.
No. We both arrived rather late. Some trouble getting away from our homes.
Yes, we have a secret that we don't share with our wives.
That's right. Marjorie, my wife, thinks I'm on a computer course.
And Hilary, that's mine, thinks I'm at an advertising seminar.
But in fact, we're both here, clandestine together.
Have you been friends for a long time?
Oh, yes, years. Started off in the army, eh, Charles?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we bought houses close to each other in the country. Been together, what, 25 years, Charles?
Oh, at least 30, I'd say.
Could be right.
Wonderful thing, friendship, Fiona. I'll never forget the first time I realized there was something quite special in our relationship. Remember, George?
How could I forget? Lost behind enemy lines, Our own artillery fire descending upon us.
Night rapidly falling, and only one sleeping bag between the two of us.
A night with a chap under the stars in one sleeping bag certainly makes or mars a relationship, Fiona.
Certainly does.
But we were lucky. Hit it off straight away.
Oh, those are the days, all right.
I see. And what about now?
Now?
Yes, I mean, do you get much time together these days?
Oh, yes. Every day, in fact, apart from weekends. Partners for life, more or less, wouldn't you say, George?
That's the one. But our wives don't know, of course. Wouldn't understand.
No. Thought it best not to tell them, all things considered.
Yes, but what if they find out? I mean, well, catch you holding hands or something.
I'd beg your pardon.
Well, you know, stumble across your secret trysting place.
Trysting place?
Well, the hideaway where you meet.
Hideaway?
One moment, George. I actually do think there's been some rather dreadful misunderstanding here, Miss Fenning.
Oh, no, really. I'm very understanding about that sort of thing. I mean, some of my best friends have. Well, friends? Just like you two.
Not like us two. I think you'll find we are using the word friends in its slightly more old-fashioned context, i.e. chums or pals, rather than friend.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think I'm actually getting the gist of this conversation.
It's probably just as well, George. In fact, I think a change of subject might be very well in order at this point.
Oh, good. I've been dying to broach another subject ever since we sat down.
Oh, and what's that, George?
Well, you'll never believe this, Fiona, but while Charles and I were together in bed last night... you came sleepwalking into our room.
George!
Thank you, Mr. Dowell. I think we'll all agree that the one-hour dissertation you've just given us on your business idea, the rebirth of the stained glass window as a practical rather than primarily artistic medium, was quite thrilling in the simplicity of its conception. One cannot help but feel you're on to a business winner there. Right, to move on, we come now to a fascinating, and I should think, practical business for today. Anything legal. I must admit at this point, as they were unable to attend our little get-together last night, I don't know very much about their project. All I do know is that these two friends...
colleagues.
I beg your pardon?
We're colleagues rather than friends.
Office friends as well?
Yes, but colleagues first.
Oh, fair enough.
Right. These two colleagues, having been made unexpectedly redundant, as happens too often these days, these two colleagues decided to set up in business by themselves.
Having decided not to tell our wives, that is.
Quiet, George.
Sorry.
So, I will now call upon Mr. Charles Parker and Mr. George Smythe to take the floor and discuss their project. Bearing in mind the only rule that we insist on, 1 hour is the absolute maximum for the presentation and discussion of any project. Sir Charles and George, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who's going to start, Charles? You or me?
Well, you, perhaps.
No, perhaps as you're the more senior rank, you should go first.
Fair. You can chip in if I get stuck at all.
Righty-ho.
And George?
Yes, Charles?
For goodness sake, take your hands off your hips, man. You look as though you're about to give a short burst of Scottish dancing.
Can't help it, Charles. I always stand like this when I'm tense.
It looks ridiculous.
Time is pressing. Could we make a start, gentlemen?
But of course... ladies and gentlemen, the business idea that we, that is George and I, have created is simple in the extreme, and that little enterprise is called Anything Legal.
I should say so.
And that is the service we hope to provide, namely, anything that can legally be provided. We will try to provide. Legally. Yes. I would say that just about covers it, wouldn't you, George?
I would have thought so, Charles. Very succinct. I mean, anything legal, we're your boys.
Yes.
Would you like to enlarge on it at all?
George?
Certainly, Charles. If we can legally do any service for anyone, we will do it. Or try to do it. That is, in fact, the sole aim of anything legal. Until, of course, we go international, which we may do, then we will strive to do anything legal internationally.
Well put, George.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Yes, I think we could safely say that's it. Wouldn't you, Charles?
I would have thought so, George, yes.
Yes.
Good. Well, perhaps this would be a good opportunity, somewhat earlier than anticipated, to take a break for coffee prior to continuing with our smaller group discussions. To begin at 11:30, shall we say?
I say, Charles, I just thought of something absolutely awful.
What's that, George?
Ours was the only presentation so far that didn't get applauded.
Good Lord, you're right.
I wonder why on earth that was.
Touch of envy, perhaps?
You could be right.
And then, of course, we come to the most exciting point of the whole starting up procedure. Moving into the marketplace and presenting the knowledge of your product to the paying public.
What if you haven't got a product?
Pardon?
Well, my friend Charles, who's in the other room with the financial group, and myself, haven't got a product. We're a service.
Well, the service you provide becomes your product.
Oh, I see. That explains it.
Good.
Just what I check. Didn't like you to think I was wasting your time by being in on a discussion that didn't involve me.
No, that's fine. So, having clarified that point, how do we get the knowledge of our product to the paying public?
A one-line ad in the personal column of the local paper.
Yes, that's one method.
No, that's the only one, actually.
No, there are many more ways of getting the message across in a forceful manner. TV, radio, hoardings, etc.
Oh, I see what you mean. I was actually speaking personally.
Personally?
Yes, that's the way Charles and I do it.
Do it?
Reach the public. Our one-line ad in the personal column of the local paper. Not that we're stinting. I mean, if we really needed to, we'd have to. No expense spared to get off the ground. But one seems adequate for our needs. Words just fit nicely onto the one line. Phone number's a bit crushed. But there again, can't have everything. Not we're just starting out.
Right. Now, to continue.
Charles did consider at one point having a black line along the top of our one line and a black line along the bottom of our one line of copy. But we finally decided against it.
Most interesting.
Now, personally, having been in advertising for some time, I thought a line at the top and bottom, boxing our line as it were, would have been quite eye-catching. But naturally, I demurred to Charles's wishes on the matter, as he was the senior officer during our spell with the armed forces.
Is that it?
It?
The end of your informal lecture on your one-line advertisement in the personal column of your local paper?
Oh, yes.
Good. You won't mind if I continue, then?
Oh, please go ahead. I'm most interested.
And I cannot stress too heavily the need to keep your books up to date. Good bookkeeping is the cornerstone of any business. Keep your books up to date.
Books? What books?
I mean, business books. Accounts, bought and sold ledger, etc. You know, books.
Oh, we don't bother with any of that. One thing you learn very quickly when you work with computers all the time, as I did until recently, the less you clutter up your life with paperwork, the better it is.
Oh, I see. That explains it. You've got computerized office bookkeeping.
Certainly not. I've done with computers forever.
So what do you do about keeping records? That, for instance.
We decided not to bother with it.
Pardon?
It seemed much too complicated. So I sent the VAT people a nice little note saying we'd like to come to a mutual understanding. If they promised not to send us any paperwork, we'd promise not to send them.
And what did they have to say to that?
Well, they sent a nice little note back saying if only we had more customers like you, our life would be infinitely easier.
But what about income tax?
Same sort of thing, really. I wrote saying, during all the good years, we used to send them lots and lots of money regularly. So could they now see their way clear to sending us a bit? Now we're on our uppers.
And their reaction?
We got £1,000 each last week.
What?
Yeah, there was a rather strange covering letter that said, in a world full of madness and melancholia, it's good to come across a couple of chaps as potty as I am. Signed, Harris, Tax Inspector of Hammersmith. With a P.S., cash these checks furtively, as they may not stand up to too much official scrutiny.
So what did you do?
Bought a couple of false beards and cashed them at a post office at Petersham.
Perhaps we should get on to a different tack altogether. Now, when you approached your bank manager about setting up your business...
No, we didn't tell him. It wouldn't be safe.
Safe?
We haven't told our wives about our business, you see. I don't want them to know we're redundant. Why not? Well, without your having met Marjorie and Hillary, it would be rather hard to explain. Suffice to say, we decided not to tell them until our success is assured.
But your bank manager wouldn't tell your wives if you asked him not to.
Ah, no, he wouldn't. But his wife would.
His wife?
Yes. All the wives play bridge together twice a week.
Oh, that explains it, yes. You're quite right to keep him in the dark, then.
Your wife plays bridge as well?
Exactly.
So, how did your class go, George?
Fine. How about you?
A bit overpowering. Apparently, we're supposed to keep records.
To play when we need our nerves soothing, I suppose.
Not the musical sort, George, the others.
Oh, those?
Yes. I tell you what, George, starting up a business is much more complicated than I thought.
I know what you mean. The funny thing is, if we hadn't come here, we wouldn't have known it was so complicated. We'd have just gone on in our own simple way.
Exactly.
I wonder if we shouldn't perhaps just slink away quietly now before we discover that it's so complicated that we're not capable of doing it in any case.
Go back 5 days early to Marjorie and Hillary. Do you really mean it?
You're right, of course. Better see it through to the bitter end.
Probably for the best. The only consolation is my mind's so numbed with facts and figures, I'll sleep like a baby tonight.
Me too.
Charles, wake up.
Oh, it's you again.
Yes, sorry about that. Bit of a crisis of doubt. Thought I'd seek your advice.
That's jolly thoughtful of you. You just saved me in the nick of time from a dreadful nightmare.
Nightmare?
Yes. I was being pursued down a quiet street by a giant banana with flat feet. And a great big zipper running down his middle. The scrawny little arms at the top shouting, "Confess! Confess!"
Cool. Oh, how awfully disquieting.
Quite. Damned if I know what I'm supposed to confess. But if it appears again, I'm going to confess something straight off.
Probably that pickle you had at supper.
What on earth is it to confess about a pickle, George?
The nightmare. Pickles can do it, apparently.
Well, that one's certainly good. I've never seen one that size in my life before.
Miss Fenning's obviously onto a winner with her giant fruit and veg. The third world will be agog.
Not surprising. Peaches like melons and melons like giant marrows.
Yes.
So, what is it tonight, George?
Tonight?
What's brought you into my room this time? Bedtime story, perhaps?
Oh, dear, not that. I see. Mind if I pop in bed while I chat? The parky's a bit parky.
Feel free.
Oh, good.
No, on second thoughts.
What is it, Charles?
Oh, nothing. You carry on, George. If a chap can't bunk up with a chum in the 20th century, that's their loss, not ours. Oh. Watch out for the hot water bottle. It's a bit hot.
Ooh.
Oh, you found it. Good. Kick it out of the way toward the bottom.
Okay.
Oh, not mine.
Oh, bottom of the bed. Sorry, misunderstood.
Right. So, what's the problem, George?
Well, I was thinking over what we talked about earlier, about the complication of running a small office, bookkeeping, VAT, watching cash flow, satisfying the tax man and all the rest of it. It's just too complicated for words. I mean, quite frankly, I don't think my brain is going to be able to cope with it, Charles. In fact, to be honest, I almost feel I should chuck it in now and go back to looking for a proper job that I'd be good at. I wouldn't have all these additional worries.
But there aren't any proper jobs anymore, George. Being your own boss is the only answer.
But I can't possibly handle the bookkeeping.
You won't have to.
I won't?
No.
Then who will? You?
No. We'll acquire a computer. It's the only answer.
Oh, jolly good.
Shh.
What is it?
Floorboards on the creek again.
I heard it that time. Oh, gosh. Do you think it'll be the ghost?
Shouldn't think so. More likely Fiona showing off her fruit bowl again.
Look, Charles, the door handle. There's someone at the door.
Oh, keep calm, George.
I feel a lot calmer if you were nearer the door than me.
Evening, boys. Only me.
Mr. Hunter, what on earth are you doing in my bedroom this time in the morning?
And what are you doing with that camera?
All part of my professional kit. That's the trouble with my job. Never off duty. Well, here goes. Say cheese, boys.
Cheese? Shit.
And there we have it. In 2 minutes' time, the perfect picture of you both in bed together.
I simply don't understand. Your stated profession was an industrial espionage consultant.
Oh, bit of modern jargon, that, so I could get my government grants through without any bother. There's a much better old-fashioned word for what I do.
And what might that be, Mr. Hunter?
Blackmail.
What?
That's right. I couldn't help overhearing what you both had to say to Miss Fenning at breakfast this morning, particularly as I had a recording device under every table, just in case anything interesting cropped up.
But that's dastardly.
I quite agree.
No, it's not. Blackmail's the new growth business.
What on earth are you going to blackmail us with? There's nothing wrong in two chums tucked up together.
Oh, of course not. But how would you like a dated copy of this beautifully developing film to be sent to Hillary and Marjorie at the addresses I got from the registrar's office?
You swine. They don't know we're here.
Exactly. Shall we say £100 each by the end of the week?
What?
Oh, I wouldn't be too upset about it. The things I've already got and the other course members are already averaging out at £250 each. So you're getting a bargain. Except for Miss Fenning, who now I've discovered the actual secret of the fecundity of her fruit, has come to an agreement of a slightly more personal nature. I must admit, coming on this course has certainly shown me lots of new avenues to explore.
This is absolutely appalling. You're actually using government funds to discover how to be a better blackmailer?
No worse than you two using the funds to pay your drinks bill.
What on earth were you doing before you took up this evil profession?
Income tax collector.
Oh, well, that explains it, I suppose.
Yes.
Right. I'll just check my picture has developed perfectly, and I'll be on my... Oh, no. Ah! Ah! Oh! Ah!
Ah! Ah! Oh, Lord! What a turn-up for the book, George.
Amazing.
He took one look at the picture and ran for the door.
What on earth could he have seen to affect him like that?
Get the photo, George. Bottom of the bed. We'll find out.
Right.
Well, George, what do you make of it?
Well, it's a bit hazy.
Well? Good Lord, Charles.
Look.
What?
Lying between us in the bed. It's a...
Oh!
If you can keep your head when all men doubt you, make allowance for their doubting too. Ooh. Ooh.
You've been listening to Anything Legal by Wally K. Daly, starring Donald Hewlett as Charles and Michael Knowles as George. Also this week, Jennifer Croxton featured as Fiona Fenning, Henry Stamper as chairman of the business course and the ghost, John Kane as the lecturer on advertising practice, Peter Sellier as the lecturer on finance, and Roland MacLeod as Mr. Hunter. The theme music was written by Jim Parker, and the program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.